Father in heaven, we come before thee at this time, thanking you for your love and for your patience. And we pray and we invite your spirit to be with us and guide us accordingly. In Jesus' name, we pray and we thank thee. Amen. It was a big thing, not having children. I could see them saying, I could, like, one of those slaves, ain't I a woman? How come I can't enjoy all the things that a woman enjoys? How come I can't bear children and marriage and everything? And yet we find this story here. But there's others. Certainly we know about Sarah. Rachel. Hannah. Those were barren and they longed for children. Pleaded with God to have children, and we read their stories. But it's more than that. It's also in love and marriage. Some of them, we find that they're barren in that they can't get married, or they can't find love. We're going to talk about that. Also, there's unemployment. Barren, just can't get a job. Just piecemealing that all my life, never getting a good steady job. There was a time when I was working, you could get on the job, you stay there 20, 30 years, whatever, until you retire. Not anymore today. You have to piecemeal it all together because you're working part-time here and there. Company's not hiring permanently, and it's just a mess. But more than that also, sometimes it's a race of people. We look at ourselves and say, how in the world did we get in this fix? Barren, we're not productive enough, or they don't see us as productive enough. And we just barren and just can't seem to get a break. How does the Lord handle this? And as we looked at these stories of these women, Rachel, Sarah, and Hannah, and Elizabeth, when they finally did get pregnant, joy. Joy untold. It was the thing. And that the Lord had blessed them. Finally, they were worthy to be called a what? A woman. I now am able to produce the child. And certainly Sarah, she saw her handmaiden producing children around her and everything. And then she herself was without a child. And yet, once she did have her son, things changed in the household. In marriage, it said that it is not good for man to be alone. That's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And we have some love stories of Isaac and Rebecca. His father has sent him, sent his servant on a trip. Find a wife for my son. Well, how would I know when I see her that that's the one? He said, well, the Lord revealed to me that you go to a certain place and you go to a well and you sit there and you wait till the maidens come out to draw water. And then ask one of them, could you have a drink of water? And if she said, also I will not only give you a drink of water, but also I will take care of your camels as well. And so he left and went off on his trip, came to this well, and that's what he did. Asked the maiden, could I have some water? She said, yes, not a problem, but I'll also do it for your camels. And we know camels are just like a bottomless pit. They're just like my car. Well. And she bought enough water to feed the camels until they were completely filled.
All right.
You talk about work. And she had to pull up all the water herself. And he sat there marveling, waiting, watching her do this, and thinking about How did Abraham know that this was going to come like this? And yet he was amazed and see that the maiden was doing that. And then we have Jacob and Rachel. He worked long and hard for this woman. About as much as I did for, well. He worked long and hard. 7 years he put in for her. Sad thing was when he woke up the day after the honeymoon, disappointment. It wasn't her. It was Leah. And he was so upset. And he asked Laban, why in the world would he do a thing like this? You know how much I loved her. And well, he had a statement. He said, well, you know, the eldest has to be married first. And so he said, well, I'll tell you what, work for me another 7 years. But this time I won't have you to wait for her. You can still marry her, but you're still going to have to work for 7 years. And so that's the arrangement that they had. And this was this love story. And they started out. And that God said, you know, people are longing for, how come I can't find someone that I can find, you know, be with and grow old with? And they find themselves barren in that experience. And years pass by and they begin to wonder, will it ever take place? As we see in some of these cases with the women, they were looking for children. In advanced age, then that's when they finally begin to see the thing or to have children at that age. And they were certainly blessed that the Lord had blessed them with children. But then again, maybe you're providing for your family, but you just can't get a job. The Lord has required you to do it because he says, 6 days shall I what?
Labor.
And even in the Garden of Eden, God planted a special garden for them, for Adam and Eve, and gave Adam a job to take care of the garden and everything. So he had a job. One of the things about relationship, before I get too far out of that, was that Adam, when God was going to create Eve, he took Adam, put him to sleep, and took a rib from his side and made woman. And Adam says, she is what? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And he called a woman. What does that mean, 2013? What does that mean down here? He took Eve from part of Adam, and he was showing her how close the connection has to be. She has to be like his second self. His second self. I am researching this, and I asked Miss Maria, and she says, I'm Wesley's second self. I anticipate what he needs. I'm there, his second self. And that's the closeness, that's the union that this marriage is supposed to be like. Amen? And if you were married to someone and they're going a whole different way than you are, they're carousing and drinking, whatever's going on, and yet it's out of kilter. It's not going to work because you can't work together. And so we find here that if you want happiness in your marriage, you want to be, especially the woman, she wants to be his second self. And you have to get to know the person, amen? And we find here that even when They were looking for love, Jacob and Isaac. That God was still in the business of selecting mates. Of course, today we got eHarmony, what? .com. Map makers and all that kind of thing going on. But I thank God is still in the business. Amen? I think he's still in the business of trying to find people and put them together because he ordained marriage. Amen? And how it should come out. And I think he still. Today we want to do our thing, and I think I know what best I need. But maybe we say, I trust my heart, but the heart is what? Deceitful above what? All things. So you can't even trust your emotions sometimes. I just love it. I just love her. Just like Samson, she pleases me well. Or he pleases me well. And I guess it may be a little selfishness going on. And we make those decisions and enter into a contract. And the Lord said, you're bound here. You can't get out of this thing. You think that I can just go down to the courthouse and I can end this thing. Not so. Not in God's sight. Y'all went into this. You said you would till the day you die and all that. God said, I'm gonna hold you to that. If that's not sufficient grounds in order to get a divorce that they might grant, you're just in it. And neither one of you, if you separate, whatever you're going to do, can legally get married because you have gotten into something that somehow you are just not satisfied with and you want to change that partner like you change shoes. I got a. What do you say? I got a closet full of them. But even in employment, we want to make sure that we're doing all that we can to provide for our families, and that we take care of them with finances, and that with the accommodation God would have that you be prosperous and be in good health. When you're working for him and you're doing what you should be doing, God said, I will bless to no end. Then again, there's another barren in race relationships sometimes. With the blacks, we look at ourselves sometimes and say, whoa, how in the world did we get into this? Maybe it's one of those... They said that once you smell a dead body, you never really forget it. It's just there. You just know it. And maybe somehow we can never quite get the stench of the ship that bought the slaves over. The humidity, the smell. Urine and feces and all of that and hot, humid conditions on the boat and the moans and groans that were being and the chants that was taking place down there. And we just can't get past it. No matter how I try to do things, I might advance, but somebody else, they look at another person and just brings us all back down. How did we get into this situation? You won't believe it, but it was when Jesus was on his way to the cross. They had beat him. He hadn't had anything to eat. Scourged him. Everything. Really, the devil didn't want to kill him. He just wanted him to give up and go home. That's all he wanted to do. And he tried in the wilderness. Just do this and give up, you know, and it just, they're not worth it. And so here he finds himself with another opportunity, and Christ has to get to Golgotha. You have What's going on in the temple is that they're getting ready for the Passover. They have picked the lamb, they sharpened the knives and getting everything ready. And yet Christ is coming towards Golgotha and he falls. And he can't get up. He cannot carry the cross any further. The people themselves standing around him, they're Jews. They say, we can't do anything like picking him up, not now, because we have decided that he's not our Savior, and it wouldn't be right because we have the Passover coming. We just cannot do this. Angels were forbidden to even assist him. And so you have him there, can't take another step. The devil is almost rejoicing because he says, I finally got him. The angels are not coming to get him. The Father won't permit that. None of those around him are going to help him. He's going to have to call on 10,000 angels to do what? He said he had that power to give up and just tell his Father, I can't do it. And the devil was almost rejoicing. I finally got him. And I could imagine they were down there high-fiving and everything. And then one of the angels said, wait a minute, watch out here. A black man, Simon of Cyrene, took up the cross. He wasn't in town when everything started, so he didn't know the drama. All he saw was this man being beaten in such a wretched condition as he was coming down the path there, bearing his own cross in a weakened state, bloody, and he began to inquire, what in the world is going on here? We'd never done anything like this. And immediately the soldiers grabbed him up. You shall bear his cross. And he started to protest, and as he did, he looked into the face of this individual. Bloodied, eyes swollen, bloodshot. But in that face, in those eyes, he saw all the love, all the compassion that God could have for mankind. He saw all of that in him. And he himself put his shoulders to the cross. Bloodstained as it was, he shouldered the cross. The story goes that as he took the cross, people were still spitting and throwing stones at Christ, but also at Simon. You find the story over there about him in Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and also in Mark 15, verse 21, he has two sons, Rufus and Alexander. His wife was a devoted follower of Christ, and he had two sons. Himself wasn't quite committed yet, but here he was bearing the cross. Acts chapter 13, verse 1, it talks about the blackness of Simon, and also the community that they grew up in of Cyrene. It was a territory that was occupied by blacks. The place has changed, or the names has changed over time, and if my research was as complete as it was, today it is a community called Tripoli in North Africa. It's on the Mediterranean coast, and that's the name of the place now, a very lovely place right now, of Cyrene as it is now. Even Paul, he knew them, and in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, he mentioned about Rufus, and also his mother, that he also counted her as his mother. When we bear the cross for Christ, we snatch the victory from the devil. He didn't forget this. Believe me, he didn't forget it. Because centuries later, said towards the end of time, he caused us to endure the most horrific form of slavery that mankind has ever experienced. 400 years of slavery and segregation and everything else. He didn't forget. And I could imagine the Father in heaven as he looked down on the scene and he had anticipated something taking place that was out of the ordinary, that nobody was wanting to help him. But he had this man to be there at that time, happened to be a black man, that carried the cross for humanity up to Golgotha. And they said they walked stride for stride like two oxen, carrying that cross up to Golgotha. And I could imagine that even when Simon got up there, he was almost had much blood on him as did Christ. But he still carried that cross. And we talk about our rewards in heaven. And I could imagine the fathers are going to say, thank you for taking care of my son. The angel was thinking the same thing. We were wondering, won't somebody help him? Our commander, won't somebody do something? We cannot, God has forbidden us from helping, but won't somebody help him? And here steps this black man into this picture that carries this cross for humanity up the hill. We said, well, it was going to have to end some way. We knew he had to get there, but it was through us. We have paid a dear price for that in some cases. Ancestors back, even today, things still linger as to whether we're qualified to do a certain job. I like about our president that he has a more direct connection with Africa than African Americans. It's just his father couldn't be the president because he was born there in Africa, but his son could be because he was born in the States, a citizen. A direct connection, even though we have generations here, but that connection, I noticed that. I said it was different. It was a direct connection that was from Africa to America, president. That's what it is. God has watched over us, amen? A lot of the inventions of comfort that people experience today come from us, that we have contributed to society, amen? Amen? In spite of everything else, God still provides for us. But the thing is that we think that we are worthless, or we think that we cannot succeed, we think that we have been so denied that we cannot make it. But God says, I hold you special. You're unique. And when there's something to be done, if we're on top of it, there's nobody better in the world. Nobody can do it like we do.
I like that song.
Ain't nobody. It's just that we have something. And God knew that he had to have a strong people to carry this load, amen? And great is the reward in heaven. That when he says, Well done, my good and faithful servant.
Yes.
What you've done, helping my son. But the thing down here now is we ourselves, for as church goes sometimes, we just doesn't seem to care. We don't realize the cost and the price that it paid. That Simon packing the cloth, but he wasn't the only one packing it. You and I was packing it also, amen? Because we still have the residual results that still lingers on. We are still here. We want to be more involved in our Christian experience with the church. We sometimes think that, well, I got other interests. This is your interest right here. The cross. You done packed it. You done paid the price. You have suffered all for this cross. And the devil would not have you. The reason he did it so late in the thing, he said, I don't want y'all showing up in these last days, you know, claiming y'all going to do this and do that and spoil everything again. But he said, I just want to keep you down. But we are lifted up, amen? We should be the most involved people within our church. Every meeting that we should have here at this church, we should come, we should support it. Our young people should participate in it. We should be a thriving community here within our church. It should be just nothing like it. We're right here on the corner of Ferdinand, but sometimes you're slow to come. You show up late. Or some don't show up at all. Sadness. And yet we're hoping that we're going to get there. We're going to make it. But the devil is still trying to make you miss out on heaven. And we have been beat down, as it were, in some cases. And we think that maybe the world itself owes us something. But God says, look, I'm the one watching over you. Amen? All we have to do is just step up to the plate. Be the people that God intended us to be. You talk about prosperity and being in good health. We have running rampant within the race. Diabetes, high blood pressure, all this sort of stuff. He said he's trying to take us out every which way he can. But God says, I still got this. I still got the remnant here. Amen? I still have my remnant. And we at Southside, Sabbath school should be just packed. We paid a price for this. We have paid a price. I can imagine Miss Elizabeth saying, how can I be all the blackness I can be? Well, Miss Elizabeth, if you embrace this gospel of Jesus Christ, you're black enough. Amen? Thought I'd put you in this. But we have a tremendous work to do. Amen? And we don't have much time to do it. But if we keep half-stepping here, the devil's going to get his victory, and yet we're going to end up being lost. We have a nominating committee coming up. One person should be carrying 6 or 7 jobs. One person. We have a church full of people. We should all be part of ministries. Amen? Doing something. And you cannot get to heaven just doing nothing. You have to participate. You got to be involved. You have to be involved. The cross is here because we carried it. Amen? We're the one that loaded it on our backs and brought it up to Golgotha Hill. And we carry the stains with it, and the blessings that the Lord's going to give to us for those who make it in. Amen?
Amen?
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. And certainly we all want to hear about this, don't we? That we have done here at Southside, we have really stepped forward and done what we should. Our youth. A number of Sabbaths, we just haven't had AY. We need to, amen? We need to. Get them involved again. We need to have our youth, because if we don't do it, another generation is going to be lost. Amen? And we don't have that much time. We just do not have that much time. But at this time, I'd just like to invite you to the cross. To come down here, there's no reason that we should bring our sins to the church and just still carry them all back home. Amen? Why don't we just all leave it here at the foot of the cross? Bloodstained as it was, yet Simon took it for all humanity. That's our legacy. And God chose a strong people to do it. But don't let the devil steal away your glory at the end. Don't let that happen, because that's what he's trying to do. Not involved. We should have our young people. Like Pastor Mackey said, you know, back in the day, we took them everywhere. We involved them in everything that we could possibly do. They didn't lack for anything. And Pastor, even some of those that kind of lost their way, just a few. And we can still look around and we can still find them. They're still in the church. Even from back then, they're still represented in the church. And one of our own has came back to pastor for us. Amen? For the investment that we made in our young people. So at this time, we just invite you to come down, and we just want to have a little prayer session. And just give God some praise. Amen? And ask him to bless our young people in a very special way. As a matter of fact, our young people ought to be the first ones down. We need them. We need them. We need them. Some of our young people, they ought to be the ones that's coming down. They're the leaders. They're the ones that's going to be carrying the cross. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then those who are older, as they set the example, we just want to also support them. Amen? So that means all the rest of you. I know the cushion in the seats is comfortable, but we need to step up. We need to get out of our seats and make this step to the cross. We paid a big price for this, but God said you could stand it. We just thank you so much for participating. And we ask God to forgive us of our sins, our transgressions, the things that have kept us from being the people that we should be. Amen? We don't want to take any of these sins back home with us. Not at all. None of these sins. When we leave here today, we should be sin-free. Amen? Every Sabbath we come here, we should experience the same thing. Free from sin, that I can do the things that God had intended for us to do. Amen? Pastor, could you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to hear your word this morning from Elder Carlisle. And Father, you have seen the ones who have made their way down to this cross. And Lord, we are here because you are a forgiving God. Your word says, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So, Lord, may we believe and know that as we walk away from this symbol of the cross, that we are forgiven. Our sins are washed away. And Lord, lift us up this morning as we leave this cross, Lord. May we return to our seats refreshed, renewed, revived, knowing that we have a God that loves us and forgives us and cares for us. And Lord, as we leave this church, Father, may the world see Jesus in our hearts. May the world see the joy and the peace and the love in our hearts, Father. And then we may turn to let them know we are saved by the blood of the Lamb. We thank you for that great sacrifice, Lord. That expensive trip to this earth. And you would have done it for one. Lord, we thank you for loving the whole world that you gave your only begotten Son, Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that one day you're coming, Lord. But Father, we know that the line must be drawn. One day, Father, you will say, those that are filthy, let them be filthy still. Those that are righteous, let them be righteous still, Father. Oh, a decision is going to be made, Lord. We want to be on the winning side. We want to be ready when you come, Lord, to greet you, to meet you in the air, and return to heaven where we will spend the ceaseless ages of eternity. Bless each one here today under the sound of my voice, men and women and boys and girls. We pray and we thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen.